Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Winter's over and the snow is gone. Go get your gloves and pull your work boots on. Gotta clear that patch, pick them stones. You know the sun is gonna warm those lazy bones. Winter's over and the work's just starting. Time to get busy in the family garden. Turning the soil and planting the seeds. Laying down mulch and pulling up weeds. Mowing the corn, row on row. Then you stand right back and you watch it grow. No, even little children gotta do their part and help things grow in the family.
I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio, and today on Route 51, we leave the highway and head to the backyard for our annual Route 51 Garden Show, a show specifically aimed at northern Wisconsin gardeners and landscapers, with answers for your problems and questions about our challenging short growing season.
Rain and a summer breeze. Yellow squash, black-eyed peas. Japanese kale and pinto beans. Italian tomatoes and turnips. Now we're picking and a cannon and working hard and trying to beat the winner to the family.
Our guest today, one of the most knowledgeable people about plants, trees, flowers, and vegetables in the Midwest, Dick Zondag, the president and owner of the Jung Seed Company, with five garden centers in Wisconsin, including a large facility on Highway 10 in Stevens Point. Now, you probably listen to Larry Mueller's Garden Talk show every Friday on Wisconsin Public Radio. This show is Garden Talk for Up North, with specialized advice for those of us who landscape, prune, and try to grow flowers and vegetables in a place where there's still snow on the ground in May and the first frost can come before Labor Day. Today's show is particularly important because of the freakish spring weather that we've had, a 14-inch snowfall in parts of Wisconsin last week, an ice storm that literally knocked migrating birds out of the sky, followed by 80-degree weather the past few days, and now a frost forecast for the weekend. So if you've got gardening or landscaping questions, and I'm sure you do, you will find it easier to get through on this show than on Larry's show on Fridays with its statewide audience. The show does work better when you call in, and we have a great expert, Dick Zondag, with us, who will answer your questions about landscaping and growing things in our northern climate. Our lines are wide open right now. You can get right through toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. Let me give you that phone number again, 1-800-780-9742. Dick Zondag, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about the history of the Jung Seed Company, how you got started and how you've grown and sure. What you've become today.
Yeah, the seed company was started by my grandfather on my mother's side about 107 years ago, and so we're quite old family business, but we try to keep up on probably the most modern or the newest things that are coming onto the horticultural business. It was run into the 70s and 80s by my grandfather and his two sons and my dad. My dad was very much interested in gardening, a garden center business, because he loved to talk to people, and my two uncles were also very integral in the company. But I joined the company in 1972 after graduating from the University of Wisconsin, Madison, and then Cornell University for my master's degree. And I've always been a gardener, and I think I had the advantage of gardening as I was going through college, because I had the practical experience and now the college experience, and the light would turn on every once in a while when I'd sit at some of the professors' feet and learn. And I guess,
Well, you've been doing this for some time then, 1972.
Yeah.
You going to pass it on to your son?
Yes, I have a son that's been working for me for 5 or 6 years now. And in fact, he was in Stevens Point today working with the garden center manager, making sure that, you know, we try to run our garden centers very basically the same so that we have a similar product mix in the, you know, in the garden centers, and we have all of the Jung products. But then in the early 90s, they saw that, you know, there were some opportunities to expand by either purchasing other companies or by buying them out of bankruptcy. And so we've added 8 other catalog titles, McClure and Zimmerman. First one was the first one, and then
yeah.
I added a family of catalogs, Totally Tomatoes, Vermont Bean, R.H. Shumway, Seymour Select, and HPS. So we've now got heirloom catalogs. Totally Tomatoes is a tomato catalog. Shumway's very old-fashioned catalog.
It's got those 1800 style drawings of the vegetables.
And a lot of the products there are the old type seeds that are open pollinated. And then a couple of years ago, we added Roots and Rhizomes, which is a perennial based catalog. And then I think 5 years ago, I purchased Edmund's Roses out of bankruptcy, and that is a rose catalog, almost 100% roses. So.
And Totally Tomatoes is, you know, I've seen that one too. You've got all kinds of varieties of heirloom tomatoes and peppers and eggplants.
Yeah, about 400 varieties of tomatoes and about 200 varieties of peppers, all the way from the large sweet bells to the very, very hot, you know, the hottest pepper in the world, ghost pepper. Is one of the catalogs.
Oh boy, how hot is
it? Oh, that one, I don't even venture with that one.
Well, I want to give the toll-free number out again. We had like 3 callers and we lost them all because of computer problems. And we've got things fixed. I want to encourage you to call in right now if you tried to get through before, because we do want to take as many phone calls as we can. That number again is 1-800-780-9742. 1-800-780-9742 for your gardening questions for Dick Zontag of the Jung Seed Company. Dick, we've had an absolutely freakish spring with an April and early May that felt more like February. It has warmed up in the past few days. Are people finally getting in the mood to get outside and garden?
Yeah, the last 2 weeks have been pretty good. The whole month of March, we wondered where all our customers had gone. Of course, it wasn't really gardening time. There was still snow on the ground everywhere, and now that we've gotten through April, you know, last year March was really warm, and people were out gardening late March, early April. This year, it's a month late, and so I think we've had the two extremes: the very early spring 2 years or 2 springs ago, and now a very late spring this year. And although it's late, it's not too late to get your garden in, because the vegetables respond to the sunlight and the temperature and the day and night length. So it's not too late for a gardening. Thinking about gardening.
Well, a lot of folks up north, you know, we don't plant until Memorial Day anyway, and some people up here don't even plant until June 10th. They think right. Memorial Day is too soon.
Yeah, Memorial Day is when I usually plant my garden too, because that's the end of the season has come basically, and actually it's not a bad time to do it, because if you think about it, the soil is warm, at least in my area down in Randolph. The soil is now warm, and the seeds come up faster out of a warm soil than they do out of a cold soil, and the plants just seem to grow like crazy. So,
well, you know, up here in certain sections of the North Woods, we got 14 inches of snow last week. So, are there any tricks you can give us for warming up that garden soil?
Oh, sure. There are some things that you can do. The use of black plastic mulch. You know, going out and applying a black plastic mulch to the soil right now and then waiting a couple of weeks, because the black, of course, absorbs the sunlight and will heat up the soil underneath it. And then you just cut an X in the plastic and you plant your tomatoes or peppers or eggplants or, you know, whatever plant type plants that you're going to plant through it, and pull the plastic back, and it also acts as a good deterrent for weeds, so the weeds can't get through.
There you go. Well, let's go to the telephones, 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Joan in Wausau. Joan, you're on with Dick Zondag.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hi. Dick, I have a question because I took a trip one time and got really interested in all the forsythia that was around an area. So I bought a bush, and a couple years ago it sprouted out so much it was in the way of the steps to the back, you know, and it was hard mowing around the area. So what I did was I cut the really long branches off about halfway.
Right.
And then, of course, it sprouted from that the next year, and the bush looks horrible. And so it's really gone wild now, and I'm wondering if I should cut it to the ground and start over.
How long ago did you plant the shrub?
5 years.
5 years. Yeah, I think it's still young enough that you could go back to maybe 6 inches above the soil.
Okay.
And just cut them back. If they're really large, like some lilacs get to be an inch or 2 inches in diameter
uh-huh.
at the base, that's pretty hard on them to do it all at one time. And so if the stumps are pretty big,
okay.
What I recommend is that you cut half of them off this year,
mm-hmm.
and what you'll find is that sprouts will come out of those stumps, and you'll
yeah.
have a new shrub. And then next spring, you cut the other half, and that way you're for sure going to have a bush left. But
okay.
With only a five-year-old plant, I'm pretty sure that you could cut that off 6 inches to a foot from the ground and start it over again. And then, cut the branches off, the tips of the branches off as they come up, which will make them branch out, and they'll get a much better base. And then the other thing you got to remember with forsythia is that anything that blooms before the 1st of July, the flowers are already on the shrub or on the plant before it goes into the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to do a lot of pruning after probably the 1st of September, because that's when a plant starts going dormant, and then the buds either differentiate as flower buds or as leaf buds, and you can tell which they are by looking at them. But if you do a lot of pruning in the late fall, you're cutting your flowers off.
Okay, so when I cut them, cut half of it down.
What I do
this
is
year?
Wait till they're done flowering, because they're really pretty.
Oh,
when
so I can
flower.
Do it then? Okay.
And then if the stumps or the branches at the, or the twigs at the base are an inch in diameter or greater, cut half of them off this spring.
Good.
And then it'll sprout from those areas, and then next spring cut the other half off. And
okay, good. There's hope. Thank you.
Yep, thanks for calling.
All
okay.
Right. Joan, thanks so much for the
phone
call. And let's go now to Nancy in Minocqua. That phone number again, 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. Nancy in Minocqua, you're on with Dick Zondag on the Route 51 Garden Show.
Hi, I had a couple questions. The first is when I go out east, there's some beautiful blue hydrangeas and deep, deep pink hydrangeas. Is there any way to get those to color that way up north?
The Endless Summer is a hydrangea that should be hardy in your area. And the way that you get blue or pink is by the acidity or the sweetness or the sourness of the soil. Pretty sure that if you make the soil acid, it's blue. And if you put lime around the plant to make the soil sweet, the flowers will be pink.
Okay. Then the other question I have is I have a really hard time in the spring finding rosemary and getting it to grow pretty long. I get small plants that are maybe 4 inches high. No one seems to carry big bushes of rosemary. Do you know where I could get a larger pot of rosemary?
Boy. We have quart-sized, I think probably quart-sized pots at the garden center in Stevens Point, but most herbs are grown from that size plant, and I guess the big thing with most herbs is to have them in full sunlight. And if your soil is well-drained and has a lot of organic matter in the soil, give it a little extra fertilizer, and maybe that would make it grow.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
All right, Nancy, thanks so much for the phone call. I grew, I grew some rosemary in a pot on my deck with Miracle-Gro, and boy, that...
that works well, too, with herbs. Growing them in a highly organic soil, which is what you should use in containers, and then use Miracle-Gro or, you know, there are several of those soluble plant foods that really do well. The big thing, though, if you're growing things in containers, is that you have to either line the containers with styrofoam or bring them in the garage or somehow protect them from the winter elements, because the roots of a plant are probably 20 to 30 degrees more susceptible to freezing. And when they're in the ground, they only get cold from the top down. When they're in a container, they're exposed to the cold temperatures all the way around, and it'll freeze that root ball a lot harder. And in most cases, and I'm sure in your area, if you don't somehow protect that pot, what you planted last year will be dead this spring.
All right, very good. Dick Zondag of the Jung Seed Company, let's go to Leaf in Eagle River. Leaf has a question about bare root trees and shrubs.
Okay.
Hi, I ordered some bare root trees and shrubs, some apple trees and some blueberries earlier this year.
Okay.
And thinking that I would be able to get out and, you know, prep the site to plant them earlier than I have been able to because of the late spring.
Right.
Is it okay until I'm able to sort of get in there and put some good soil in to put those in a container with just some potting soil or some peat?
Sure.
Until, you know, the site is ready?
Yeah, but the thing is with bare root plants, you can plant those out even when we're getting cold temperatures as long as the soil is, you know, the frost is out of the ground and you're not mudding them in. So even if you get snows and frosts on bare root plants, the roots are below ground and the tops are still dormant. If they have leaves on them, which some of the stuff that we sell now has, they have to be protected until the danger of frost is gone. But if they're truly dormant yet, as long as the soil is thawed and the excess moisture is moved through, you can plant those, and a snowstorm or even getting down into the 20s or so, the roots are not going to be injured.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yep, thanks.
All right, Leaf, thanks so much for the phone call. What is the advantage of buying a tree that's already in a pot as opposed to buying a bare root plant?
Well, we like bare root because we sell a lot of it. I think the advantages to bare root is that plants are planted in basically in the soil that they're going to be growing in, and you don't run into the problem where if the thing is in a pot too long, the shrub or tree can get root bound. Most people, when they pop a plant out of a pot, if it's been in the pot for too long, and some of our shrubs have get root bound too because the roots are pretty aggressive, you have to cut the root ball somehow or rake some of those roots out with your fingers so that they don't keep going round and round and round those pots, because there are trees and mainly trees but shrubs also that if you don't do that, in 5 or 10 years the tree will start to lose branches and go downhill, and what they found is that the roots never blast out of that rich soil and get into the native soil, and they just kind of go round and round and actually girdle themselves. And so if you are planting potted material, be sure that the plant isn't root-bound. If it is root-bound, just take a one-edged, you know,
someone else,
a carpet knife or something and cut into the ball about an inch or two, and cut some of the roots on four sides so that the roots will come out of that rich soil. The other thing is that if you're planting a ball, you want to make sure that you enrich the soil a little bit around where you're putting that ball in so that the roots are actually pulled out of the pot area and grow out into the native soil.
Well, that's particularly important. If, you know, up north here we have a lot of rocks in a lot of our soil.
And clay also. Clay is more dangerous, actually, than rocks. Especially if you use a post-hole digger or something to make the holes where they're perfectly round, and you don't put ridges in the hole itself.
Mm-hmm.
If the soil is too different in the inside that root area and it hits that surface between the root area and the native soil and its clay, sometimes the root will turn and will start going around the hole because you've actually created a pot in the ground. So you can use one of those post hole diggers to make the holes. That's not a problem. But then you should use a spade shovel to square the hole off or to get it out of that perfectly round situation.
All right, very good. Dick Zondag, the president of the Jung Seed Company. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. It's our annual garden show in which Dick provides you with information specifically designed for people who have to deal with our short growing season and our early frosts and our late snowfalls. Up north, this is garden talk for those of us who live in north central Wisconsin, and you can get your questions answered at 1-800-780-9742. We have lines open right now, 1-800-780-9742. Nate from Little Rice, hang on, we'll get to you right after the break.
Yes, you like potato, and I like potato. You like tomato, I like tomato. Potato, potato. Tomato, tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Oh, yes. You like potato.
And you like potato.
You like tomato.
And you like tomato.
Potato.
Potato.
Tomato.
Tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, building the local economy and strengthening the community by making local business everybody's business. More about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning and out in the garden, get your ripe ones. Don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them is a culinary bummer. I forgot all about the sweating and the digging. Every time I go out and pick me a biggin'.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love. Homegrown tomatoes.
If you've got questions about your homegrown tomatoes or peppers or eggplants or beans or pumpkins or watermelons or flowers or perennials or annuals or trees or shrubs, this is your show, 1-800-780-9742. It's Route 51 Regional Talk Radio, the annual garden show with advice specifically designed for those of us who live up north. This is kind of garden talk for the northern part of the state. And Dick Zondag of the Jung Seed Company knows a lot about growing things, and he's here to answer your questions. And we do have lines open. You can get in right now if you've got some vexing problem you'd like him to help you with. 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. Speaking of tomatoes, I believe Nate from Little Rice. Nate, you've got a question about skinny little tomato plants that you started from seed.
Yes, I started my tomato plants, peppers and cabbage about 6 weeks ago, and they've come up. They're about 4 inches long. But the stems all seem really spindly.
Okay.
Is there anything I can do to make them a little hardier before, I know I got a couple weeks. So
I guess what I do is take them outside during the day. The spindliness comes from too much heat, not enough space, too much fertilizer. There are lots of things that can cause not enough light, that they're stretching for the light. But what you'll find is take them outside when it's nice outside, leave them out during the day, bring them in at night, and you'll be surprised how nice they turn out. And then when you plant them out, take the root ball and lay the plant horizontal in a trench, and then just bring the last two or three sets of leaves up and cover that stem, because what will happen is the plant will root all along that stem, even though it's quite succulent, and the plant will take off like crazy.
The same way
with the peppers, just plant them a little bit deeper, but as they get out into the sunlight and into the cooler temperatures and a little more wind during the day, that will cause them to get more stocky, give them a little bit of room, and I'm sure you'll have much better, you'll have beautiful plants.
Okay, sounds good. When should I plant my potatoes?
When the soil thaws out. Even in Randolph here, Good Friday, the soil was still frozen, and I had to use dynamite to plant them. So,
kidding.
Yeah, but with potatoes, what you want to do is cut them up about 3 or 4 days, or maybe even a week before you plant them, because that cut surface will callus over. If you just cut potatoes and throw them into cold soil, and especially if it's wet, that nice piece of starch will start decomposing. The soil microorganisms will attack that cut surface, and there's no barrier there for them to get in. And so if you cut your potatoes up now and then wait a week and plant them, that'll give you a little bit more time, and they'll be just fine.
All right, Nate, thanks so much for the phone call.
Thank you.
You know, talking about tomatoes, I think I told you that we're introducing a new class of tomatoes, peppers, and eggplants to the gardening public. They're called grafted. And, you know, when I first saw those in one of our competitors' catalogs and started to do a little investigating,
mm-hmm.
I said to myself, why would you pay $7 or $8 for a tomato plant, a grafted tomato plant, when you can grow one yourself or buy one in the store for 50 cents to a dollar? Well, I found out why. They now have some wild tomato variety that's very, very resistant to the soil-borne diseases.
Uh-huh.
And then by grafting whatever variety you want to on top of it, you've got a tremendously fast-growing root system. And what we found is that, they'll produce 4 to 5 times as much fruit as a normal tomato plant. As long as you do two things, you keep the graft above ground, and the graft is usually about an inch above ground, and then you keep the vine from touching the ground, because if the vine touches the ground and it's susceptible to the soil diseases, they'll go in through those roots.
You know, Dick, I've grown tomatoes from seeds, mm-hmm. heirloom varieties, and things that for one reason or another, you order them from Totally Tomatoes. That's your catalog,
right?
And you can't get some of these varieties in plants. You got to grow them from seed,
right?
But then often I find that when I plant them, you do have problems with them. They just don't come out as strong and as hardy as you'd
right.
like them to. So this sounds like a solution. You've got this yep. wild, extremely hardy root system,
right?
And then you graft the other plant right on top of it.
Right, and the grafting is done for us by a company that's been doing this for years, and we bring the plants in and start them. And it's the first year that we've done it, and we had a few problems in production in our first crop, but I think we've got it down now. But the plants themselves, what I'm going to do with them, I'm going to incorporate another cooperative effort that we're doing with square foot gardening. I'm going to build some square foot gardenings along a chain square foot gardens along a chain link fence and put these things in square foot garden, which has very rich soil,
mm-hmm.
and then train the tomatoes onto the chain link fence. And the people that have done this before claim that the vines will get 6 to 8 feet long, and they'll have tomatoes all along them. So,
and that's even in just a square foot garden?
Just in a square foot garden, yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. And the tomato vine itself will be trained on this chain link fence. But I'll know more about it next year if you invite me back. I'll give you
all
some.
All right, we will invite you back, and you can tell us how things worked out. Now it's not just tomatoes, right? You're also growing peppers
and eggplants? Peppers. And again, they're very productive. 2 to 3 times as much fruit on the peppers. And if you want to see what the eggplants do, if you go to the Totally Tomatoes, it's totallytomatoes.com, you'll see the difference between a grafted eggplant and a seedling eggplant. The grafted eggplant, and again, I have it, these were pictures that we got from our supplier, but the eggplants were mature on the grafted one, and
mm-hmm.
they were very immature yet on the seedling. So I'll know more about that next year, because I'm Although my family doesn't like eggplant, I like eggplant. So I'm going to grow a couple.
Well, you just need a lot of olive oil and garlic, right?
Yep.
I saw some of the some of the varieties that you're growing on grafted. You've got a variety called Big Zack, which I believe produced the largest tomato on record.
Yeah, the Big Zack was hybridized by a lady called Minnie Zacharias out in New Jersey, and Big Zack actually has a cult following. If you type Big Zack into Google, a lot of people are saving the seed. Of course, it's not a hybrid if you save the seed, but 4 to 5 pound tomatoes are not unusual if you do it right.
Well, I tried to grow that once from seed, and I must have done something wrong because I had trouble. But, you know, again, if you've got this grafted plant with a strong wild root system underneath,
yep.
There you go.
Yep.
And while you're at it, you brought this up, square foot gardening. Explain that to me.
Well, it was started by a guy out in California. Well, he actually was, on Victory Garden back in the 70s, and as he explained on Larry's show a few weeks ago, people that thought they knew horticulture kind of poo-pooed him, and I was one of them. You know, I saw it back in the 70s, but I wish I had started doing it then, because I actually was on a seminar last year at Minocqua, and the executive director from Squarefoot Gardening was there, and she said, oh, yeah, try it, because she had been a novice gardener before she started working for Mel Bartholomew.
Okay.
And she put a garden in, and she couldn't believe all the vegetables she got out of it. And the secret is in the soil.
And this is all in a square foot space.
Well, what you do is you plant you build a garden on the ground out of 2x6s, and you put a weed barrier underneath it, and you divide the garden up into square foot. So you've got 16 square feet in that garden, and you can put like 16 carrots in 1 square foot, or one cauliflower, or one cabbage, or, you know, you can put a trellis on the back side of it and plant peas that'll grow up the trellis, or cucumbers if you want the type that are for eating that get long and narrow. They have to be trellised, and radishes. You can grow radishes in 3 weeks in a square foot garden, and then you just put in another set, and it's very, very productive. But the secret is the soil. It's called Mel's Mix, and it's made out of peat moss, vermiculite, and compost. And as I said, I poo-pooed it. I wish I'd done it, 20 years ago. Because now I'd be a real expert in it. But we're going to put, several of them out in our demonstration garden and get more experience at it this year. So
there you go.
There again, I'll have more experience with it next year. Although we took some old cauliflower plants in June last year in the garden center that we were just going to throw away, and I just by chance put them in that square foot garden. And by the fall, we had, I think, 10 pounds. Our heads. I mean, they were just gorgeous.
Holy cow.
So, yeah.
Dick Zondag of the Jung Seed Company, advice for those of us who live up north and have to deal with this short growing season. We've got lines wide open right now at 1-800-780-9742. You can get right through 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Jim in Lincoln County, when we come back, Dick will answer your question about growing radishes on the Route 51 Garden Show on Wisconsin Public Radio.
I was out in my garden pulling up some weeds when I got to the place where I had planted those seeds. It was the biggest thing that I've ever seen. It was like a giant football, but the color was green. W-A-T-E-R. Amy Ella went, what's that spell?
Watermelon.
W-A-T-E-R.
See that watermelon hanging on the vine? I wish that watermelon could be mine.
The farmer must be careless without a lick of sense, or he wouldn't leave it hanging on the vine. Cornbread is sweet, pork chops are good, black-eyed peas are mighty, mighty fine. But give me, oh give me, I really wish you would, that watermelon hanging on the vine.
I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guest, Dick Zontag of the Jung Seed Company. It's our annual garden show, 1-800-780-9742. If you've got questions about landscaping or gardening, particularly given this this cold spring that we've had, 1-800-780-9742. Shower is likely, diminishing after midnight, a low of 38. Friday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then clearing, a high of 66, a low of 38. Saturday, partly cloudy and windy, a chance of rain early in the day with a high of 54, a low of 32. Sunday, sunny and clear, frost at night with a high of 52 and a low of 30. We've got rain falling all across north central Wisconsin. 36 in Land O'Lakes, 41 in Woodruff and Eagle River, 45 in Rhinelander and Tomahawk, 46 in Park Falls, 52 in Medford, 53 in Marshfield and Antigo, 58 in Wapaka, 56 in Wisconsin Rapids, 55 degrees in Wautoma, Stevens Point, and outside our studio in Wausau. And that number again, 1-800-780-9742. If you've got a question for Dick Zontag, let's go to Jim in Lincoln County. Jim, you're on Route 51.
Hi, and thank you for having me on. For as long as I've been gardening, which is decades and decades now, we've never really had good luck raising radishes. It seems like they always get these little fine worms in them. And I'm wondering if you could offer some advice. I've never used, like, these row covers, but that may be something that you talk about. And then having heard you talk about tomatoes, if you could just touch on, is there a time when you... we snap off all those suckers, but is there a time when you, when one should, like snip the tops off so they quit growing toward the end of the season, so you just get the tomato growth? And I'll just take my answers off the air, and thank you very much for the good show.
Jim, thanks for the phone call.
Okay, the radish problem is wireworms, and, you know, there are some soil insecticides that you can use for that, but rotating them in your garden should help with that. I don't know if, and I wish he would have hung on, because they're more of a problem in heavy soils than they are in light soils, but just make sure that you rotate where they go from place to place. And I've also done some in my own garden. What I do with my radishes is I plant them when I with things like carrots and beets as sort of a nurse crop, and so that may help them too. And the other question was about
when do you break the suckers off of the tomato plants?
The suckers off the tomatoes. You can do that because the suckers are not as productive, and towards the end of the season, that vine is going to slow down by itself, and so I very seldom will cut back the tops of the plants. Now, if he's getting tomato vines that are really, really aggressive and they grow quite long, cut out the nitrogen. Don't put any fertilizer on them, because tomatoes react instantly to nitrogen, and if you put too much nitrogen on tomatoes, they do tend to make a lot of vine and not much, not many tomatoes, and it will delay the crop too. So, with tomatoes, I wouldn't fertilize them very much, and you can take the suckers off if you're going to be training that. And with the grafted ones, for sure take the suckers out, so reduce the size of the plants. But then you've got to cage them, or you've got to train them on a trellis, and then open the vine up. That also gets more sunlight into the center of the plant, so that the fruit can ripen better.
We have some new varieties that are out, and some All American Selection or AAS winners that I saw on your website. A Melamon hybrid muskmelon. What can you tell us about that?
I wish I could tell you a lot.
I shouldn't have blindsided
no,
you.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I should know all this stuff. The problem is I don't do everything with the website, so I'm not familiar with that one.
Well, I'll tell you what.
The AAS comes out with new products in mid-season, and things that we can put on the website, but we don't have in the catalog. So I'm sorry, I'm not prepared for that one.
Well, let me go through some of them that are on there and direct people to the website. It's www.jungseed.com, correct?
Right.
And among these, among the new things you'll see is this Melamon hybrid muskmelon, which has kind of a white flesh, a Jasper hybrid tomato.
Yep, and that's a really good one. We haven't had it. We're going to have it in our test plot this year. But you know, when the new All Americas are introduced, we try to have them available to people because you know, everybody's looking for them. But the problem is that AAS now is working not only with mail order catalogs, but is working with you know, a lot of people. So outside, and in order to get them in the catalog, they have to get them to us by the midsummer. So that's why we're putting a lot of these you know, a lot of these varieties in the, you know,
on the website.
On the website.
Well, we also have some flowers, Pinto White to Rose Hybrid Geranium, Deep Salmon Hot Cherry, and Yellow Profusion Zinnias, which I guess are really tough plants.
Right. They're very, and the nice thing about zinnias is you can start them indoors, but they come very nicely from seeds also.
And then a Cheyenne Spirit Echinacea. Am I pronouncing that right? Echinacea, is that Echinacea?
Echinacea.
Echinacea. I always mess it up. And it's a flowering perennial cone flower.
Right, and there are just a myriad of cone flowers coming out on the market now because they're very popular, but they're breeding a lot of people. Different people are breeding them, and so they're introducing a lot of new things to the trade, and so, you know, there are probably 75 to 100 new coneflower varieties. It seems like everybody that breeds them introduces a new series, and so we try to weed out the ones that have the best potential for us.
Dick Zondag of the Jung Seed Company, 1-800-780-9742. If you've got questions for him, 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network as we tiptoe through the tulips. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio with our annual garden show. I'm Glenn Moberg with Dick Zontag of the Jung Seed Company, asking your questions about growing things up north in our inclement climate. And let's go to the phones, 1-800-780-9742. And caller, could you please identify yourself and tell me where you're calling from?
Yes, I can. I'm actually calling right now from Portage, Wisconsin, but I am from Hayward, and I'm looking for some advice on trying to get my blueberry plants to do a little better.
Okay.
All right, and what's your name, sir, first name?
My first name is Dale.
All right, very good. Dick?
Yeah, well, blueberries are not the easiest fruit to grow because they do require an acid soil, and the problem with Wisconsin is that we sit on a big piece of limestone, the whole state. And so when you water plants from a well or something like that, you've got bicarbonates coming in the water, which sweetens the soil. So with blueberries, you have to acidify the soil. And when you plant a blueberry, we recommend that you use aluminum sulfate with mixed in the soil the first time, and that will sour it very fast. Now, use aluminum sulfate only once because aluminum, although it's a micronutrient, can become toxic to the plant if it's used too much. So you use that once, but then at the same time, we recommend incorporating about a cup full of sulfur into the soil so that that is your slow-release acidification. It goes from sulfur to sulfite to sulfate, and it's done by the microorganisms in the soil. And that's sort of a slow-release type of getting the soil to be acid. And then a cup full of sulfur every 5 years is what I do with my blueberry plants. And then also, if they're not doing real well, there's a product called Muracid. It's not an acid fertilizer, but it has the manganese and the iron in it that those plants need. And it's a soluble fertilizer, so you go right through the leaves with it. And the way you can tell if a blueberry is happy or not is the color of the leaves. If the leaves are a nice dark green, they're doing really, really well. If you can see the veins, if the veins are darker than the leaves, you need to either acidify the soil or use Muracid. There's another product called Ironate that's a byproduct of copper mining in Arizona where they use sulfuric acid, and that also can be added to the soil to sour the soil. But blueberries are something that need to be constantly pampered, I guess you'd say.
Last year I had some deer damage towards the end of the year, and I've taken some steps to fix that with fencing. They took the ends off of all of them. I mean, they nipped them down pretty bad. How bad is that going to hurt the future of my berries?
Well, first off, it's going to take your crop away, because the flowers that form the berries are almost always at the end of the branches. But as far as the plant is concerned, as long as there are some buds to come back from, they'll grow fine.
Okay.
But there are repellents you can put on them. The other thing I was going to tell you with blueberries, too, if you've only got a few blueberries, you're going to have to net them to keep the birds out, because when the blueberries start to mature, the first bird that sees it tends to spread it to the rest of the birding community, and the birds all descend upon them. So, although blueberries are really, really good, there is a little work to them.
All right, thanks so much for the phone call. We're going to try to squeeze in at least one more call. Caller, you're on the line. I don't have your identification in front of me. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Laura. I'm calling from Tomahawk, Wisconsin.
And your question?
I just bought a house last April. This is the first we put in the garden ourselves. It was an old fallow field, so we fished it, and we live pretty close to the Wisconsin River, so we have high water table, and pretty heavy soil. So I was wondering if you could suggest some soil improvement for me so I could maybe plant my garden not in a puddle of water.
Okay, well, square foot gardening would be the perfect thing for you. But short of that, sand, get a load of sand, put 3 or 4 inches of sand on top of the soil, and then organic matter, any kind of compost, or if you know some farmers in the area that could supply you with some well-rotted manure. You can add that to your garden, and then build it up a little bit so that the water drains away from it. Is this a sandy soil or clay soil? What kind of soil?
It's a clay soil.
It's clay, yeah. And that's the hardest to work with.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, by adding, and you can't add just a little bit of sand. If you do that with clay, you're going to have concrete when you get done. So you've got to put a pretty significant amount of sand on top of it, and then work that in, and then work some organic matter into the soil. Or, as I said, the square foot gardening thing, a lot of people that have impossible situations go to this square foot gardening, and it really does work.
Okay. We also have rabbits and chickens. Is this something that I can use that
manure to fertilize? Yeah, you can use that manure. You can use that manure to help enrich the soil, too.
All right, very good. Thanks so much for the phone call. And, Dick, thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you.
We are completely out of time. We want to thank Dick Zontag, the president and owner of the Jung Seed Company, with 5 garden centers in Wisconsin, including one on Highway 10 in Stevens Point. You can find out more at www.jungseed.com. I'm Glenn Mobrig of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Special music today by John McCutcheon, Tom T. Hall, Tiny Tim, Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald, Tennessee Ernie Ford, Eric Clapton, and Arlo Guthrie.
Till the rain comes tumbling.
Next week on Route 51, we look at the growing problem of heroin use in central Wisconsin with perspectives from law enforcement officials, healthcare professionals, and prevention specialists. You can hear our show every Thursday at 5 p.m. on the Ideas Network stations WLBL 91.9 FM Wausau, 930 AM Auburndale Stevens Point, WHBM 90.3 FM Park Falls, WHAA 89.1 FM Adams Wisconsin Rapids, WHRM 90.9 FM High Definition Channel 3, and now on our newest station WHSF 89.9 FM Rhinelander Eagle River. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, until next week, we're heading out of town.
Rain for grain, sun and rain, find my way in nature's chain. Tune my body and my brain to the music of